أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. My brothers and sisters, as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us to this world, or has sent us here in this worldly life for a test. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us in different ways. Sometimes through what we desire, sometimes with what we want. People want wealth, people want power, people want fame. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them through that. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us through the things that we dislike, that we do not want. Hardship, difficulty, loss of life, loss of income, injury, oppression, and so on. One of the ways, as I just mentioned, that people can get tested is through injustice and wrongdoing. Now indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded justice. And our deen puts a great emphasis on honoring and respecting the rights of others, not wronging others, not oppressing others in the slightest of ways, and not just between human beings, but also with animals and the other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to wrong anyone or anything. And we are taught that we will be held to account for even the smallest of wrongs that are committed towards others. So respecting and honoring the rights of others is a very serious matter with implications for us, if not in this dunya, then definitely in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and protect us all. The truly bankrupt person, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us, will be the one who shows up on the day of judgment with many good deeds, but who has wronged others, and will have a long line of people waiting to get their rights, because that is the ultimate day of justice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start dishing out this person's good deeds to his victims. And when there is nothing left, he will start taking on the sins and burdens of his victims until he has nothing left and he is only in debt. And then he will be thrown into the hellfire. So this is the person who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described as being truly bankrupt. So we are to respect, we are taught to respect the rights of others as individuals. And when we have authority, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a position of leadership, has given people who we are responsible for, then the emphasis is even greater. Thus the rightly guided caliphs, the Khulafa Rashidun, they used to take the burden of leadership very seriously. Right? They would directly look after the needs of the vulnerable and those in need. The Khalifa himself, the famous story of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, right, going around doing the rounds at night, hearing crying from a house, investigating why are the children crying. It's because they don't have food. Right? So great feeling of that burden of responsibility towards those under one's care or under one's authority. It's how we word it, right? We think, oh, we have authority, but rather we are supposed to, rather they are under our care. Right? It is the burden of leadership and of authority. Yeah. But while the teachings are there instructing justice and respect for the rights of others, sadly, of course, injustices occur and oppression takes place. Everyone wants fairness and justice for themselves. Who doesn't want fairness and justice for themselves? Everyone wants their rights. And sometimes people even want beyond that for themselves, what is not fair, of course, which is wrong. Now, when a person feels that they have been wronged, if you feel you have been wronged, someone has taken your rights, what should you do? And how should you respond? Now, of course, it depends on the seriousness of the wrong or the nature of the wrong that has been committed or that has been allegedly committed. The first option, almost always, is to resolve the issue in the best way possible, in the easiest way possible, with the least, you know, least problems, least difficulty. And then, if it doesn't get resolved, then escalate step by step. If there is no response, if there is no remedy. If it's a civil matter or a human rights matter, maybe it has to do with your job, your employer, or has to do with school, or with a business, or a business partner, or another person, then first, of course, the easiest thing to do, the natural thing to do, is to reach out, to try to talk it out, maybe to write a letter to the business or to the organization, to those responsible, right, and make your case. Right? You don't go from 0 or 1 to 100 right away. You go step by step, gradually. If it doesn't work, then you report to the relevant authorities, write to your public representatives, or take the matter to court. If it is a criminal matter, of course, you report to the authorities and push them to take action and to prosecute. Because in our deen, there is no room for vigilantism, for people to take matters into their own hands. Because if everyone starts doing that, then what happens? There is public disorder and there is chaos. And that goes against the objectives. Right, or that goes against the interests of society and of the community because it causes or has the potential to cause harm. If there is no remedy still, after taking these initial reasonable steps, then a person can go public, maybe share with the media, post on social media, whatever means is best and appropriate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم وكان الله سميعا عليما. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the negative thoughts or the evil and unpleasant things to be voiced, loudly, publicly, except by those who have been wronged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like negative things being discussed publicly, except for those who have been wronged. And indeed, Allah is all hearing and all knowing. Now, the Mufassirun, the commentators of the Quran, they mention, you know, different explanations of what is being referred to here. The su, what is this evil or unpleasant things? So some of them mention that perhaps it is backbiting, meaning talking about the alleged wrong and the wrongdoer behind their back. It is a form of backbiting, but because this person has been wronged, it is allowed for them to do that. Or cursing them, right? Not in the sense of using bad words or profanity, but in the sense of praying against them for their deprivation, or using harsh words against them. So it seems here, my brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in a way recognized the pain and the feeling of helplessness felt by the one who is wronged. Right? Because the victim normally feels, you know, great frustration, may feel frustration or anger. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed them to share and express their frustration, their anger, and to make their case. So while there is some leeway for the one who has been wronged, we still have to be very careful about language. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالطَّعَانِ وَلَا اللَّعَانِ وَلَا الْفَاحِشِ وَلَا الْبَذِي. That the believer is not a slanderer or one who curses much or one who indulges in obscenity or who engages in foul talk. These are not from the traits of the believer. So we have to be very careful about our language, even in times of anger and frustration. Now, in contemporary times, protests and rallies, shows of solidarity, marches, these have all become a main form of activism for raising awareness on a large scale. Because when people gather in large numbers, it gets attention. It gets the attention of the media, it gets the attention of the people in authority, of the leaders, and so on. And of course, of citizens as well. Now, it goes without saying that such activity should not contain anything that is haram. If there's an activity that is happening that is haram, then of course that is not permissible. But they should also not hurt others who are innocent. Whether hurt in terms of their body, their well-being, or their properties. The people who are innocent, who are not directly related to the issue. Because in doing so, the victims or the supposed victims can also become wrongdoers then. Right? If a person has been wronged, yes, you have a claim against the one who has wronged you, the one who has committed the injustice or the oppression. But if you cause harm then to others who are not related, who have nothing to do with your issue, who are not related to the other party, then you are also committing wrongdoing as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as related by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, إياكم والجلوس على الطرقات. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of loitering in the roads, sitting on the roads. So the companion said that we have nowhere else to sit and talk. We have nowhere else to sit and talk. This is where we sit. We sit on the roads, we sit and talk. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you insist, فَإِذَا أَبَيْتُ مِنَ الْمَجَالِسَ فَأْتُ الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّهَا, that if you insist on sitting on the roads and loitering on the roads, then give the road its rights. Give the road its rights. SubhanAllah. So here we learn that in our deen, even the roads have rights. We talk about the rights of people, the rights of animals, the rights of the creation of Allah. But even the roads have rights. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what are its rights? وَمَا حَقُّ الطَّرِيقِ قَالْ غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, lower the gaze. وَكَفُّ الْأَذَى refrain from harm. وَرَدُّ السَّلَامِ return greetings of peace. وَأَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ and enjoin good and forbid evil, as reported by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim in their Sahih. Now, here we find very clearly the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned amongst the rights of the road is to not harm, to refrain from harming others. Now, if there's a large gathering, of course it can overflow onto the streets. Maybe people are not able to gather in a park or in a place and there's too many people and it overflows. That's understandable. However, every effort must be made to minimize the harm to others. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La darara wa la dirar. La darar wa la dirar. Do not cause harm or return harm. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes ahead and says, مَنْ ضَرَّ ضَرَّهُ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ شَاقَّ شَقَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ that whoever harms others, Allah will harm him. Whoever is harsh with others, Allah will be harsh with him. And we learn this from other teachings of the Prophet ﷺ as well. We get this principle that the way we treat others is the way we can expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to treat us. The way we are to others, we can expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat us in the same way. So do not cause harm or return harm. And whoever harms others, Allah will harm him. Whoever is harsh with others, Allah will be harsh with him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and protect us. Now my brothers and sisters, for the past 2 weeks, we have seen escalating protests starting from Ottawa and now spreading to other parts of the country. Overall, they have been non-violent, meaning there has been no riots, no one has been killed, no one has been seriously injured. But a number of protesters, not everyone, but a number of protesters have been causing harm. either purposely or indirectly, to many residents, causing intimidation, harassment. For example, purposely honking while driving in residential areas, not allowing people to sleep, honking in the middle of the night, harassing people who are wearing masks. You know, it's a free country. If you're fighting for freedom, people have the freedom to wear the mask as well if they want to. You know, blocking roadways, ambulances not being able to pass where they need to go, people's livelihoods being affected. Right? All of this is unacceptable and actually does more harm than good to the cause. Among the supporters of these protests or of this cause are some Muslims as well. And there's nothing wrong with supporting the initial grievance regarding vaccine mandates or related grievances. This is not a matter which has been ruled by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And people can have different opinions, right? Not everyone's going to be the same. People will be affected differently, will have different types of knowledge, levels of knowledge, different perspectives, and that is okay. We cannot expect everyone to agree on everything. So there's nothing wrong with having a grievance. Maybe someone has been really affected by these rules in a way that has really hurt them, and they're Muslim. So that's fine and that's understandable if they have grievances and they want to protest. However, be aware, please, that some of the key people in these protest movements are those who hate Islam and Muslims, who slander our leaders and our masajid and our organizations, and are doing everything they can to hurt our community and our deen in this country and elsewhere. And this is not something that I've just made up. This is fact, and I'm not saying this because I don't want people to protest or because I support the government or anything like that. I'm just saying that we have to be very careful that while we protest against the government or for a cause, we are not indirectly helping such people who harbor hate and animosity towards our deen and our community and helping them rise in terms of legitimacy and power. So yes, their views are not directly related to the protests and what is happening, but at the same time, they are very much at the forefront of organizing this thing, of driving this thing, and we must be mindful and careful that we do not help them in their illegitimate goals. If a person feels that they have been wronged, certainly use the correct avenues of protesting in ways that are legitimate, but also be careful not to harm others directly or indirectly. And this goes for this protest or any other protest for any other cause. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant justice to all of those who have been wronged. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from injustice and oppression. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to protect us from becoming those who perpetrate injustice and oppression. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. My brothers and sisters, we have some sad news. The mother of our sister Deepa Khan passed away, Sister Rabia Khan in Bangladesh. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And also the uncle of our brother Muhammad Mamoon passed away in Egypt. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So make dua for them both and all of those who have passed away. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وعافهم واعف عنهم واكرم نزلهم ووسع مدخلهم واغسلهم بالماء والثلج والبرد ونقهم من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الابيض من الدنس وابدلهم دارا خيرا من دارهم وابدلهم اهلا خيرا من اهلهم وادخلهم الجنه واعذهم من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار اللهم اجعل قبورهم روضه من رياض الجنه يا رب العالمين اللهم انزلهم منازل الصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن اولئك رفيقا اسال الله سبحانه وتعالى to grant صبر جميل to all loved ones at this difficult time. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. And our dear brother Muhammad Rashad Salim requested dua for his 1 week old niece in Egypt. She has been admitted to the ICU and is in serious condition. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أذهب الباس أب الناس واشفي أنت الشافي الشفاء لا شفاء شفاء لا يقدر سقما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for her and her family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her a speedy and complete recovery. And for all of those who are ill, Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Yes. And also sad news regarding the father of our my respected colleague, Imam Ziad Dalich, the Imam of SNMC. He also, his father passed away yesterday in Bosnia. لله وإنا إليه راجعون. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate his ranks and to accept all that his son has done in goodness, the sadaqa jariyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his mercy and forgiveness upon him. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.
الله أكبر. الله